All right, and a guy who's been a big winner, and he's back from the travels of being a beat writer. He was in Washington, Miami, and Los Angeles, the only one to do it. And he was on the story this morning, and that is Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. And, of course, a good friend of ours and has been terrific all year long. So you could tell the story, the Mack Williamson-Austin Slater story. I think it's a big story because I assume he's going to play.
Well, he's not in the starting lineup today,
so that's not interesting.
Alan Hansen is going out to left field,
right,
but
really.
I was just in the clubhouse, and I didn't see a locker yet for Slater there, so my guess is that he was informed this morning to head on down from Sacramento and that he could be available to pinch hit, and then he'll probably start tomorrow against the lefty Eric Lauer.
What do you think of the move? You know, you followed Slater. Carmen's been up there, and Allie have talked to Slater in Sacramento. We've seen him here. Stanford guy. He's been comfortable in the big leagues. What do you think about the move, and especially Williamson?
Well, Marty, we're almost at the midway point of the season. The Giants have yet to settle on their everyday left fielder. They've been searching. They tried Hunter Pence. They tried Mack Williamson. It's time to give Austin Slater a shot. And granted, I don't think he's going to hit for power, and you'd love to have a corner outfielder who can do that, but Slater was had a 981 OPS at AAA Sacramento. He was a doubles machine there, and you know, you look at what he's been able to accomplish this season, and I think that Slater deserves this opportunity to hit, and so we'll see. I think that the important part of this is that they do give him an everyday opportunity and run him out for 100 at bats, see what he can do, and you know, if he can hit for average, that's better than what they've gotten so far.
It's kind of funny because the last time Slater was up, they were almost looking at him like to be that super utility guy. Remember, they were working him at first. They were working him around the infield, playing him in left field. Is he exclusively now just going to be in left? Because now Hansen's kind of that super U guy.
Yeah, I would think that Slater will just focus on left field right now. I mean, you've got center field taken care of with Gorkys Hernandez. You've got right field with Andrew McCutchen. That's locked up for the foreseeable future. And so with Alan Hansen able to provide spot starts at just about every position, third base, shortstop, second base, and left field, like he's doing today, you give Slater an opportunity to settle in, really make sure he gets going against left-handed pitchers because you've still got plenty of division games left, and then give him an opportunity against right-handers as well. Make him an everyday player. Give him 5-6 starts a week and see what happens.
Well, you look at Jordan Lyles. Lefties 186 against him. Can you believe this? With four homers. Righties 321 with eight homers. So who gets the shot in left field? The left-handed hitter, Hansen. Isn't that baseball?
That is baseball. And I think it probably has something to do with Slater's travels down from Sacramento.
Come on. He can walk here.
Exactly. It's just an hour and a half up Carmen.
Can drive him here in an hour.
Yeah. The taxi squad, the Uber squad, as we call it, when they come on down from Sacramento. But, yeah, it's interesting. When you bring up those splits, Marty, it seems like a right-hander should be in there.
Yeah, you think so. Kerry wrote the article last night. Adam, I don't know if you saw his game story last night, but boy, things unravel for Stratton in one inning. And, of course, that's baseball the way it went down. But Stratton really sort of unraveled.
Well, and he crushed himself for it. And, you know, Buster Posey made that excellent stop over at first base on the ground ball from Corey Spangenberg. And Stratton didn't hustle over the bag. He admitted he thought it was foul. And then he said that moment cost them the game. But really, it was just one of several moments that ended up costing the Giants last night. They played way too sloppy to win against the Padres, and you can't do that against a last-place club. You can't get away with those types of mistakes, and so Stratton crushed himself for that, but there were probably other players who beat themselves up over the mistakes they made. You know, Nick Hundley's errant throw to second base on that ball in the dirt. Stratton said he can't throw a 50-foot curveball there, but, you know, at some point, everyone needs to take responsibility. Pierce Johnson led off that ninth inning with two walks, and you just can't do that in these situations.
No, Adam, did you see the Hundley throw?
I did see the Hundley throw. I was more frustrated, honestly, with the Pierce Johnson walks. The walks are things that kill me, but you're right. They played a sloppy game of baseball, and the throw down to second, you can't make those mistakes. They were throwing the ball around the infield. And then you had a little bit of unlucky at bats, too. You had the Hosmer tap double down the line. You had another one where he's behind in the count. He hits a double up the line also, so I don't know. It's a little bit of unlucky baseball yesterday also.
Yeah, and I think Kerry's right. You can't play sloppy baseball this time of year. I thought the Hundley throw was ill-advised. And I was gone by then. You know that.
Yes.
You know, I was here early this morning. So once each team had a hit, I said, okay, I told Eddie Montague I could go now. So I did see it on TV. And the ball was in the dirt. And hit Hundley flush in the mask. And then he recovered and got the ball and looked and just threw it to second, and of course it was to the left side of the bag, and Crawford and Hanson were nowhere near it. I mean, they were not even there, so I don't know if they expected it or what happened with them. But I thought that's one he should have just picked up.
I do like the aggressiveness there.
You do?
I do. With a runner on third base, he looked him back.
Okay.
I think that it's okay. If he thought that there was a sure out at second base, and he did, that's why he threw it. Nick Hundley's a heady player. He's a smart guy behind the plate. And granted, he'll make defensive mistakes from time to time, but I won't fault a player for being too aggressive. You know, the throw wasn't on target, but I didn't mind it.
Well, three games in a row now he has an error. Mm-hmm. For Mr. Aggressive. All right, so I just want to let you know that. So we'll see what happens with him.
Point Marty.
So we'll let you know that. I got that from the notes last night. You know that. What do you think about, Adam, jump in whenever you want. What do you think about the Strickland situation as how it affects the end of the bullpen?
Well, I think it's going to be a closer by committee approach because Strickland was the one guy who you could run out there three out of 4 days, and just kind of test his arm. And the Giants just don't have that durability at the back end of the bullpen right now. Tony Watson is a guy who can go out there almost every day, but Sam Dyson hasn't proven he can be really successful on back-to-back-to-back days. Mark Melanson not yet able to go on consecutive days. Will Smith still coming back from Tommy John surgery. So you're looking at a bullpen that has four or five different options to close games, but if the Giants have save situations on consecutive days, I think they need to look at different guys to get the job done.
I mean, 2 weeks ago we were talking about this is the backbone of the pitching staff, that the bullpen was the deepest part of the team, maybe the strongest part of the team. Now you're telling me closer by committee. You hear this every year with different teams. It almost never works. Can you think of a team that is winning World Series or successful down the stretch that's going closer by committee? Can the Giants be successful going to a different guy every day to get this job done?
Well, the goal of a closer by committee approach in Bruce Bochy's eyes to me is you try to find someone who settles into that role. And, you know, if it's Sam Dyson, if it's Reyes Maranta, if it's Tony Watson, then you find that guy and you just ride him to the finish line. And so it will be closer by committee, in my opinion, for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And then if Strickland comes back, maybe it's his job, but I doubt it. I think by that time, the Giants will have settled on someone else to fill that role.
Very important, this separation I'm talking about. The Mets are playing the Dodgers. The Dodgers have beaten, 8 or 10 times in a row?
Yeah.
And by 3 runs or more each time, something like some sort of record. Arizona, Corbin pitched a great game last night, and they ended up winning. Giants have to be careful, not just to be a 500 or a game or two below 500 team. Before you know it, they'll be 10 back. There's some pressure right now. So Samardzija, good rehab start for him. It looked like it. And Cueto tonight. So, the spotlight is on these two guys. They can rearrange the furniture here on the offense, but it's got to be the pitching.
And we talked about it, Marty. The Giants aren't going to go out and be aggressive buyers at the trade deadline. So they have to view Jeff Samardzija, Johnny Cueto, Evan Longoria. When they come back from their injuries, those guys have to be those trade acquisitions. They have to substitute for that because this club isn't in a position to go out and buy players. And so if Jeff Samardzija and Johnny Cueto aren't healthy enough to deliver, it's going to be a very rough second half for this team. But there's still a lot of optimism within the Giants organization that these guys will come back and be their normal selves. And if they are, pitching staff's shaping up to be pretty good.
Yeah. Johnny Cueto going to go today in Sacramento.
Yeah, so that's 40 pitches for him tonight, mm-hmm. And Samardzija went about 60, I don't know.
Yeah, he went 73 the other night over 4 innings, and so they're weighing whether he'll need another start right
okay.
now.
Okay, yeah, so they'll probably give him another one, I would think.
I would think so, too. And, you know, Suarez and Rodriguez have pitched well enough. Holland's holding it down at the back of the rotation. I think that you make sure that Jeff Samardzija is absolutely right before you bring him back.
So can we project some of those moves here? What would happen? I mean, Derek Rodriguez has pitched well. Andy Suarez has clearly been better in his last 5 starts than his first 3. I think he's been a good addition to this rotation. Is this a guy that you send back down and you look to bring him up if you need a spot start later in the year? What happens to these guys who are getting innings done now? They're getting into 5th and 6th inning regularly now.
You know, I've been bitten too many times projecting moves with an old ball club because there's just always another injury. There's just always a way that this thing sort of sorts itself out. And so, I'll go up to the day before I make a prediction on that sort of a thing.
Yeah, something always happens. So because we've done this in baseball for so long. You say, oh, my God, what's going to happen in 3 weeks when this guy comes back and somebody gets hurt or someone gets traded or released or something like that? And that's what happens. So, well, we'll see. But Cueto and Samardzija, the spotlight a little bit on them. Andy Suarez today has really pitched well. 3 earned runs or less, 6 of his 11 starts. He's left with the lead a number of times. What's your take on Suarez? He's pitched fairly well in this park, too.
Yeah, the confidence is definitely growing with Suarez, and he's a strike thrower. You mentioned this morning, Marty, on the way in, I was listening, his strikeout-to-walk ratio is pretty good so far, especially for a rookie, and that's important for the Giants because they make too many mistakes with leadoff walks, and they haven't gotten away with those this season, so it's important to have a young guy throwing strikes, a left-hander who can do that, and I think he's geared up well against this Padres team. He's had success against them before this season, and now it's a matter of sustaining that, and these guys will have more at-bats, more tape on him, and what can he do to make adjustments and counter that?
Well, it's so funny. I'm going to give the lineup for today, and, you know, again, you know, statistics and, you know, lefty-righty things, you know, who knows what it really means, but Gorky's in center, Hanson a lefty in left, McCutcheon, is hitting third, who's 12 for 21 with two homers off of Lyles. Belt, a lefty. Crawford, a lefty. Sandoval, a lefty. Panic, a lefty. And Hundley is doing the catching. No Posey today, and Suarez on the mound.
Well, Bochy played the numbers last night, too. They'd hit Clayton Richard pretty well for their careers, and after the leadoff double from Gorky's, he set down like 17 in a row or something.
You know, Clayton Richard, and again, that note came out last night, and the guys in the PR department did a good job. He's leading the majors in ground ball percentage. You see that?
Well, I guess Clay Block is not a qualifier anymore.
I guess 58.9% of his outs are ground ball outs for Clayton Richard. How about that? And he's gone nine games in a row, six innings or more. So this is a guy that used to whack around pretty good.
Yeah, he had a 4.58 career ERA against the Giants coming in. 10 earned runs against them in two starts this season. They couldn't touch him. They went from the Gorky's Hernandez double in the first inning. It looked like it was going to be another long night for Clayton Richard at AT&T Park. And then doesn't give up a hit until Gorky's doubles in the sixth.
All right, Austin Slater's up. That's the big news, Kerry, letting us know that. Slater's up, not in the lineup today. Mac Williamson in Sacramento. And I guess next up, as they like to say in the draft, Steven Duggar, you're up next. The clock is now running for Steven Duggar.
Yeah, the clock is certainly ticking. You know, Gorky's Hernandez has held down the fort in center field, Marty, but if the Giants don't have an answer in left with Slater and he'll have an opportunity here, then all of a sudden you could look at an outfield where you're looking at Gorky's and Duggar playing alongside each other.
Yeah, you need some help in center. You can't go 162 with Gorky, so you need help, and Jackson's not giving it to you. So final line on Slater at AAA, 344, 417 on base, 564 slugging, 981 OPS, 5 homers, 24 doubles, 2 triples, 21 walks, 39 strikeouts, so a pretty good ratio. 8 of 10 stolen bases. Last 4 games, 6 for 13 with a couple of doubles and a home run. So if it translates anywhere near that to the big leagues, it's a good move for him.
Got to play the hot hand right now.
I'd say so. All right, Kerry, thank you so much for coming over. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
All right, sounds good, Marty.
All right, Kerry Crowley, K-O underscore Crowley on Twitter, and you can follow Kerry at the Bay Area News Group. Does a great job. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.